All right. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Enlightened Leadership. I just ran into the house here in Pueblo West. I left La Vida about an hour and a half ago, which typically would be plenty of time to get here, but I didn't hit a train. You know what I mean? There was a train. I just wait for a train, and then there were two construction sites. So I called Don about, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, so I think I'm going to be about 5 minutes late, but I actually made it in the house. I got to potty. I got to put the food in the refrigerator that I brought back from La Vida, and I am two-thirds of the way done with my lunch, and I think I can finish my lunch while we play a song. How's that sound? It's amazing what you can get done in 15 minutes. So let me share my screen. And this is Eva Cassidy, You Take My Breath Away.
Sometimes it amazes me how strong the power of love can be. Sometimes you just take my breath away. You watch my love grow. Sometimes gentle and sometimes wild. Sometimes you just take my breath away. And it's too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to you. I'm gonna stand up on a mountain top and tell the news that you take.
Sweet song. Okay, so today, it feels like it's been a while since I've been here. I think it has been because I was on a retreat and then I was on vacation. So it's been a while since I've been here. I had to actually look up where I'm at. But it turns out I'm ready to start chapter 17. And I picked up Derek Lynn's book first, so that's the one I'll start with. And I'll read chapter 17. The highest rulers, people do not know they have them. The next level, people love them and praise them. The next level, people fear them. The next level, people despise them. If the ruler's trust is insufficient, have no trust in them. Proceeding calmly, valuing their words, task accomplished, matter settled, the people all say we did it naturally. So as you know, we're reading the Tao Te Ching from the perspective of enlightened leadership. And this particular chapter or verse is extremely perfect. It isn't what most people think of as leadership. What this is saying, if we just look at the first and last sentences, the highest rulers, people do not know they have them. The people all say we did it naturally. What this means is the best leaders are leaders that are more like the invisible wind beneath your wings. So a leader will provide only what is needed and allow you to accomplish the, we'll use the word task for now, accomplish the task on your own. And if you need absolutely nothing from the leader, then guess what the leader gives you? Absolutely nothing. The best leader wants to see her employees, her followers, you know, whatever word we want to use here. I don't know what word's appropriate, but the best leader wants to see her employees, her followers succeed on their own inner guidance and their own inner motivation and their own inner inspiration. And that's again why, if we look at the first and the last sentences, the highest rulers, people do not know they have them. The people all say we did it naturally. I often tell the people that I work with that I am not a micromanager. I'm sure Dawn can tell you I don't call her up every day telling her how to do her job. I mean, obviously, when she arrived, there was some training. You know, we made sure she had the training that she needed. And as she was, once the training ended and as she was getting settled into the position, you know, we were there with her a little more closely because she was unsure and she had questions, and we were there in that way to help her. But as she has confidence and becomes independent in the role, we let her do the job. That's the way this works. You know, a really good leader wants you to be self-sufficient, and the word self here would be true self or inner guidance or inner inspiration. Self-sufficient. So a part of the task of the true leader then is matching the right person to the right job. Because if you select the wrong person for the job, if that's, you know, if you're trying to put, as they say, a square peg in a round hole, they're not going to be able to be self-sufficient. you know, like if you took me and you put me in charge of the maintenance at the retreat house, you probably have a problem because I, you know, that's just not my forte. Jacqueline is really in charge of that. You know, she's the one that handles all the projects like that. It's just not my thing. So part of being a good leader is noticing people's natural talents and natural potential. You know, some talents have not yet, you know, like I said, Dawn needed training. You know, she didn't just come in and do this job. but what we did in the interview process, we really interviewed her to see if she was a fit for the job. We had two interviews. One was more getting to know her as a person. We wanted to see if she was a fit for Awakening Together, if her purpose was aligned with us, if her lifestyle was aligned with this job. Because, you know, this, you know, you could have a lifestyle that isn't aligned with being a sanctuary director. In fact, we asked her questions like, did she have a private space in her home where she would be able to do this? And would her boyfriend, the person she lives with, you know, be supportive of this? You know, so we asked questions like that. And then once we found that as a person, she was a fit, we had another interview, which is a technical interview. We knew she didn't know Zoom. We knew she didn't know how to put posts on our website and that kind of thing. She didn't know any of that stuff. But what we did was we had a technical interview to see if she could learn. Because, you know, some people, their brain gets all comboggled when they're faced with technical stuff and they can't learn. And to put somebody like that in this job would have just been an incredible uphill battle that wouldn't have been worth it. You know, kind of like trying to climb a steep shale mountain. But she showed us in that technical interview that she had a great ability to learn. So although you could argue she did not yet have the skills to do the job, she was a fit, right? You have a round peg in a round hole. Now all you have to do is help that peg get into the hole, right? And so that's why we brought her out here for a week. We let her spend a week with Ken. And Ken trained her as best as he could in a week. And then after that, like I said, in the beginning, Jacqueline and I were a little, you know, we have regular meetings and we're regular, you know, close to her and answer questions and provide more guidance. But as she becomes more and more independent, we just let go of the reins more and more. And to be honest, I don't even check up on her. I don't check up on Cheryl. I don't check up on Jacqueline. I don't check up on people like Aggie. Aggie is a volunteer who runs the forum, right? If I tend to find mistakes, oh, and Francine, I don't check up on Francine. She does our PayPal accounting. If I tend to find mistakes, it's pure accident. You know, like I was minding my own business and I had to go look something up and then I happened to see something else. And then, as you know, anybody who works for me knows, even though they have trouble, they forget. But they forget because of their own I am bad thought. When I do find a mistake, I don't find it with any judgment. Right? I you know, they usually judge themselves heavily. And I'm helping them unjudge themselves. And at the same time, you know, the mistake needs to be corrected. So it's kind of a funny thing to work with when people make mistakes because, you know, people just have this ridiculous idea that they're supposed to be perfect. And that if they're not, they're bad. And that is just a ridiculous idea. Everybody makes mistakes. You know, I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And sometimes we find each other's mistakes and bring it to each other's attention because that's just the way it naturally happened. But as a leader, I provide what is needed in order for my employees or helpers or followers to become self-sufficient, self with the inner self, the inner guidance, and then I let them go on their own. This is also true with gentle healing. If you are someone who's in year 3 of gentle healing, you may notice that this was kind of a stepped process. In the beginning, I provided the most direction. In year one, I provided the most direction. I told you what teachings to listen to during the week, and I gave you tips every single day. And, you know, there was a lot of hand-holding. In year two, I stepped it back a little bit. I wasn't telling you what teachings to listen to. You were following your own guidance. I was still giving daily tips, but it was kind of a back a little bit, a little less guidance from me in year two. And of course, in year three, as you know, you're writing your own daily tips, right? The goal is to become self-sufficient. In fact, I'm going to share my screen again. And I'm going to go to the Awakening Together website. Okay, this I can move you guys. It's funny because Zoom is really wonderful, but you know, it kind of gets in the way when you share your screen. It kind of gets in the way of the things that you need to access sometimes. I'd love to be able to look at you and do this too, but it's just too much. So if I go to the About menu, let's see, about our spirituality, our purpose and values. Let's see if it's on this page. If not, I'll go somewhere else to find it. No, this just starts with Awakening Together. So where would I have? I may just have to go to, I think it might be a hidden page on our website. Isn't that funny? So I'm going to go to what appears to be another website. I'm going to For Holy Spirit.org. And that brings you to a page on our website. There we go, the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Foundation for the Holy Spirit is our legal entity. This is the entity that first received 501c3 status from the IRS and then later received church status from the IRS. Awakening Together is a doing business as name. But the Foundation for the Holy Spirit is our foundation, the foundation on which Awakening Together is built. Let's look at the purpose of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit is to help individuals become self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom. We do this by providing resources and services beneficial to that mission. But notice again, the purpose of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit is to help individuals become self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom. In other words, our organization is built on Chapter 17 of the Tao Te Ching. And that's not by accident. Although I had never read the Tao, I was very much aware of the teachings of Chapter 17. Prior to starting the Foundation for the Holy Spirit, which is years prior to Awakening Together. So we are built on this idea that we provide the resources and services that will help people to become self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom. We are not here to build members, to make money, to gain followers. In fact, the Foundation for the Holy Spirit actually started in April of 2006, and in that time, a lot of people have come and go. And we let people come and go. We trust their inner guidance. We trust their, their intuition. And we're here as a touchstone for as long as people need us. And then if at some point they don't need us anymore and they move on, we don't see that as a loss. We don't see that as a failure. We see that as a success. There are some people who may stay. Some people who may step into the leadership roles, right, and continue carrying the torch of providing the resources to help people become self-reliant. But most people will probably come and go. Come and go, come and go. I'll look at the rest of this. To me, is less important. I mean, once you understand the first sentence and the last sentence of chapter 17, the rest of it is just, unimportant. But again, the highest rulers, people do not know they have them, right? They're becoming self-reliant. They say, the people all say, we did it naturally. You know, like, I did this. And in fact, you'll often notice, maybe you won't notice. I often notice that sometimes I do provide people the exact resources and the exact help they need to accomplish something. But because I only gave them what they needed and I allowed them to do everything else on their own, sometimes I sit back and I watch them say, oh, I did this and I did this. And there's no mention of how Regina might have helped. And that's actually considered good. According to the Tao Te Ching, if they don't even notice how you help them, that's really perfect. So obviously, you would not be a successful leader under this philosophy if you had a desire to get credit, if you had a desire to be noticed, right? You're just here to be the invisible wind beneath the wings of those that you serve. I mean, you actually serve your employees. You know, most people think the employees serve the boss, but in reality, the boss serves the employees. You know, as a teacher, you're here to serve your followers. Many people think that the followers are to serve the teacher, but in reality, the teacher is to serve the followers. In fact, if you've paid any attention to our MPP program, when we train people to be ministers, we teach them that they're servants to the oneself, right? Some people forget that as soon as we teach them. I watch them do it. You know, some people think that being a minister means something. Well, I apologize for that. I wish everybody would hear me. It doesn't mean a dang thing, except that you have offered to serve everyone else. Right? I mean, Jesus taught this in the Bible, right? When James and John came to him and wanted to sit on his left and his right hand, right? He said two things. First of all, he said, you're not ready to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of. And he meant the cup of letting the self die. Now, not the physical self, which in his case did happen, but even more challenging, the personal self, the personality, mind, body, you know, as who you are self. Right? He says, you're not prepared to do that. They say, oh, yeah, we are, because they didn't know what he was talking about. and then he went on to tell them that actually the greatest of you is the one who serves you. Right? You know, people think being a minister means something. It means something in that, you know, I, the minister, have the knowledge, and I, the minister, need to give the knowledge to you. It doesn't mean that. It means I'm serving you. I'm your servant. As your boss, I'm your servant. As your teacher, I'm your servant. As your friend, I'm your servant. As your mother, I'm your servant. As your girlfriend, I'm your servant. As your daughter, I'm your servant. And if anybody watches me carefully, you will notice that all I do is serve the parties that are in my life that I have to serve. And there's quite a few of them, which keeps me pretty busy. I don't lord over anyone. So again, the highest rulers, people do not know they have them. Now, the next level, people love and praise them. So, you know, maybe you aren't quite bought into this philosophy enough to be the invisible wind beneath the wings of your employees and followers and children and everything else. But the next level, you know, if you're visible, you're loved, you know, because you're not controlling. You're supporting in a way that still feels very genuine to them, very helpful to them. They may rely on you a little more because, again, you've made yourself visible. So they may rely on you a little more, but all of your helpfulness is still very right-minded, very right-hearted, very supportive. They see that you have their needs at heart, and they love you. Right? That's the next best leader. The next level, this is where it starts kind of turning into the wrong mind. People fear them. This would be the kind of leader if I was, holding the I am bad thought over your head. And if you didn't do something right, I was going to be right there reinforcing the fact that you're bad. And so because you don't like that, nobody likes the I am bad thought. you're going to try your best not to make mistakes, try your best to do a good job just because you don't want me coming and scolding you or in whatever way I do, reminding you that you're bad. So you may be performing well, but you're performing well out of fear, right? You don't want me to be the confirmation of your I am bad belief. The next level, people despise them. This is the completely self-centered leader. The leader is only out for themselves, only out for what they can get. Like, you know, in my particular role, you know, maybe I want followers, I want money, I want attention. That's all that really matters to me. And I run the entire organization in order to get that. And I'm very controlling. I tell Dawn exactly how to do her job because I do not want her making me look bad because I have to get followers. I don't want her running people off, right? So I'm very controlling of Cheryl, very controlling of Jacqueline, even Shauna, who's very close to the retreat house, you know, very controlling of Aggie, you know, just whoever is around that could either help me obtain my goals or get in the way of obtaining my goals. I'm very controlling. I don't ever let people follow their own inner guidance or inner inspiration. Everything has to be done my way because I really only trust myself. That's the worst kind of leader, right? That's just as bad as it gets. But I think we've all worked for that one, right? Many of us have. And maybe some of us have even been that one. You know, you can be that one with your children. You can be that one with your spouse, right? I've even known people who were that one with their older parents. You know, anybody they had the chance to lead, they stepped into that controlling nature, trying to make things go their way. It's the worst kind of leader. The next line says, if the ruler's trust is insufficient, have no trust in them. So if I don't trust you, there's absolutely no reason for you to trust me. That's what that says. If you don't find me trusting you, I recommend you walk away from Awakening Together and Regina Dawn Acres. I mean, that's literally what this says. If the ruler's trust is insufficient, not that I see myself as a ruler, I'm just reading the words as they're written. If the leader's trust is insufficient, right? If the ruler's trust is insufficient, have no trust in them. You know, I walked away from another spiritual organization that I used to work with because the leader of that organization did not trust me or my inner guidance. And in fact, it came down to a conversation one night when we were discussing exactly that. He had asked me to do something that I wasn't sure about. And so instead of doing it immediately, I went and checked with my inner guidance. It took me a couple days because, you know, there was fear there. And, you know, you can't always, when you're going through the purification process and there's a lot of stuff mucking up the way you see, you can't always get to clarity immediately. And sometimes it takes time. If I remember correctly, it took me 2 days. So I went and I got clarity. And in the end, this is the funny part of the story. In the end, the clarity I got was to go ahead and do what he had asked me to do. You know, I saw the fear in me and the judgments in me that was causing me to question what he wanted me to do. And I saw that those were my errors and that I was to do it. So in the end, I actually even did the task. But he was not happy that it took me 2 days to do it, even though, to be honest, it was totally irrelevant. Didn't matter that it took 2 days. This wasn't an urgent task. It was really for him. He wanted to be that controlling leader. He wanted to be the type of leader, if I say jump, you say how high, right? He didn't want me going within and following my own guidance. He wanted me following him. In fact, he had told me that very clearly a few times. So this is where it came to a head. It had been kind of building for the 9 months that I was working for him. But this is where it came to a head. And he said to me, I can't wait for some girl to have to go and check her guidance. I want you to do whatever I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. And the next sentence out of my mouth was, then I have to leave. See, that's what this is saying. This says, if the ruler's trust is insufficient, have no trust in them. If you guys don't find me believing in you, then leave me. I'm not worthy of your listening attention. That's what that means. And I take that very seriously. Again, as I pointed out, Foundation for the Holy Spirit in April of 2006 was founded on this verse of the Tao Te Ching. This has always been the goal. And Shauna, you just finished preparing to be an AT minister. And, you know, so this should be fairly fresh in your mind, I hope. The last week or 2 weeks of that, I think it was the last week of that, you were taught a counseling method. That counseling method is based on Chapter 17 of the Tao Te Ching. Remember, the counseling method was all about kind of diagnosing the person you're counseling, finding out where their gaps were, and filling only the gaps. Remember that? Yeah, it's based on Chapter 17 of the Tao Te Ching. So this is very important to me and very important to, I mean, like I said, it is what the Foundation for the Holy Spirit was founded on. And Awakening Together is built on that foundation. Therefore, it's very important to Awakening Together. And this is one reason Awakening Together is team-based rather than leader-based. Right? It's really the teams, both the employees and the volunteers, who are making the decisions that run the organization. It means that we are trusting, right? We're trusting the people to run their own organization. There's not some leader lording over and telling everybody what to do. Now, sometimes not everybody understands that. You know, like I heard one employee say yesterday, because she was telling me how she had been talking to some other people and they had an idea. And she said what she told them was, well, that's not what Regina was. So, you know, that people have their own paradigms, their own ideas of what a leader is and how a leader leads. And sometimes it takes a while for that paradigm to be broken down and to really see what's happening here. You know, you can't see beyond the filter of your own mind, right? But Regina's not going to be here forever. I promise you that. Hopefully, Awakening Together will outlive Regina. And this vision that I'm discussing right now, this Chapter 17 of the Tao Te Ching, is supposed to be how we operate post-Regina. Like, it's irrelevant who the president minister is. You know, the president minister is there to serve the entire organization. The president minister is there to provide the resources, the help, the guidance that's needed, and then step back and get out of the way and let the people you know, the volunteers and the employees do things. Is that Anne? Hey, Anne, I have a question for you. How many times have I checked up on you to make sure you're teaching gentle healing right?
That would be, let me think, zero.
Yeah, zero. And how long have you been teaching gentle healing?
We're going on a year.
Yeah. She took over for Rebecca about 3/4 of the way through. It was a matter. Now, again, I want to point out, I didn't just randomly pick someone. I took someone that I felt could do that job, right? And Anne knows I'm here. If she had a question, you know where to find me, right? In fact, I think you've maybe asked a couple questions over the course of time. Usually it was very simple questions. but otherwise, you know, unless people are calling me and telling me that Anne's doing a terrible job, which I haven't heard a single phone call like that, I'm assuming she's doing a great job. That's my assumption. You know, we had a couple of sanctuary directors ago. we had a sanctuary director where I regularly got phone calls about things she was doing that people felt wasn't a fit for Awakening Together. I didn't have to check up on her. You know, I don't have to check up on anybody. This is everybody's organization. And if you're not a fit, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, people know that and they'll tell me. And then I talk to you, but again, not you're bad, right? Not you're bad. Just here's what's happening. Here's what we agreed to. And then we try and resolve the gap. And if a person says, I'm not willing to do that, well, then they're free to leave. And we have had a couple people leave. And that's okay too. I was talking to Dawn yesterday and she talked about an organization that asked her to leave. We've never asked anyone to leave. Never. We have laid out, these are our core values. You know, this is what we agreed to. This is how we operate. Are you willing to do that? And the person may say, no, I'm not. And then they voluntarily leave. That's happened. But we've never asked anyone to leave. Why? Because we trust you. If you want to stay, then you must belong here. And our job is to help you be successful. Right? If you happen to have big gaps, well, then we work more closely with you to fill those gaps. If you have small gaps, we work with you less. But we're here to help you become self-sufficient with your own inner guidance. And we trust you. We trust your heart. We trust your motivations. And if you feel that Awakening Together is not right for you and you got to leave, we trust that too. Right? We trust you completely and we love you completely. And there's nothing you have to do to earn our love or trust. This one teacher that I talked about a while ago that I used to work with, that I ended up leaving because he couldn't wait for me to check with my own inner guidance. there was an earlier conversation with him when I very first started working with him, which was the first red flag. I had red flags within the first few days of training with him. And the first red flag was he sat down at the table with me and told me I had to earn his trust. And then he followed that up with story after story of people who had worked with him before that had done things that disappointed him that weren't right and he had to get rid of them. And as he sat there telling me all those stories, and he had, you know, good stories, like one person stole from him and one person invited a homeless guy into the house who peed all over all the furniture. You know, I mean, you know, a regular mind would say, oh, yeah, well, I can see why, you know, why you let those people go. But I've been well-versed in Chapter 17 of the Tao Te Ching long before I even started the spiritual path. In fact, there's an entire management training program based on Chapter 17 of the Tao Te Ching. It's called Situational Leadership 2. I was the only certified master in the United States in that training program. So I'm well-versed in the philosophy of Chapter 17, which means as soon as he started telling me that I had to earn his trust, there was a red flag. Right? How many of you have heard me say to you, you have to teach me to trust you? How many of you have heard that? No, you never will. I trust you. Period. And it's unconditional trust. You know, I even trust you to leave if that's what you're to do, right? I mean, I just trust you, period. And that's what this says. Again, if the ruler's trust is insufficient, have no trust in them. Proceeding calmly, valuing their words. And we'll look at some of the other translations because I don't really remember it being worded specifically this way before. It sounds to me, well, I just don't know. I'm not sure if it's the leader that's proceeding calmly. I think it is. The leader is proceeding calmly, valuing the words of the followers or employees. But I'm not sure, so we'll look at some other translations on this. Task accomplished. Matter settled. The people all say we did it naturally. You know, like when, you know, like Don, I don't think feels like Regina manages the sanctuary. And I don't think feels like Regina teaches the gentle healing that she teaches. They're doing it, right? They're doing it and it's coming through them naturally. They're following their guidance, right? Again, the best leader is primarily invisible, the invisible wind beneath your wings. Let's look at a couple other translations since there was one line specifically that wasn't real clear. So let's look at Dr. Wayne Dower. With the greatest leader above them, people barely know one, meaning a leader, exists. With the greatest leader above them, people barely know one exists. Next comes one whom they love and praise. Next comes one whom they fear. Next comes one whom they despise and defy. When a leader trusts no one, no one trusts him. The great leader speaks little. He never speaks carelessly. He works without self-interest and leaves no trace. When all is finished, the people say we did it ourselves. So this paragraph, as you see, is a little bit different, a little more clear, I would say, than the Derek Lynn. So it is the leader that proceeds calmly and values the words of the employee, right? Because it says the great leader speaks little. And in fact, often when I lead meetings, sometimes I have to provide the information because again, in my role, I know things that the people on the team may not know. And so I have to fill them in. Otherwise you're asking them to make decisions out of ignorance, right? But typically when it comes to putting in what we think needs to be done, when that's getting put into the conversation, I listen to everyone else before I say what I think. And I listen to them before I say what I think because I don't know what I think until I listen to them. Right? I don't come in already having decided what we should do. And frequently, in the years that Awakening Together has been here, my idea of what should be done was different than the team's idea. And we vote and we go with what wins the vote, which means we go with the team. right? So the great leader speaks little. But listen to this next part. This is also important. And I've asked people, some people, to pay attention, especially Jacqueline. She's learning. He never speaks carelessly. Like, I may not say a lot in a meeting, but I actually recommend that you kind of listen to what I say. Even though I'll say it and let you ignore me and let you go in a different direction, I didn't say it just to say it. You know? And Jacqueline is learning that through a bit of trial and error. She's learning that I'm pretty quiet, that I'm not going to push my point of view. But sometimes there's some experience or some intuition behind what I say. And maybe before running off and deciding to do something different, at least my words should also be considered, just like I consider the team's. Right? You know, maybe there's a reason for you know, maybe I'm not speaking carelessly. I'm not just blabbing to be heard. I'm putting into the conversation what I think needs to be heard, or I wouldn't say it. And so it's a good idea to take that into consideration as well. What most people tend to do is listen to themselves much more than anyone else. Which means unless you are loud and making your point over and over again, they simply don't hear you. And I've told everybody that works with me, whether they're working with me as an employee or whether they're working with me, sometimes I'll coach someone. I've told everybody that's ever worked with me, I'm very quiet. If you want to hear me, you have to listen. And I'll never change from that, because if they don't listen, I figure that's okay too. We'll just go that way and see what happens. I made a very quiet post today on Facebook, and I'm wondering if the person I made the post to will even notice it. It's a dear friend of mine and someone that I do coach when he calls and asks for coaching. And he posted today in Facebook his... I guess it's an 11-year plan. It ended in 3030. Is that 11 years from now? It is, right? An 11-year plan. He says, I'm going to do this next year. The year after that, I'm going to do this. The year after that, I'm going to do this. The year after that, I'm going to do this. The year after that, I'm going to do this. Then for so many years after that, I'm going to do this. And then in the year 3030, I'm going to do this. I posted, well, I guess we'll see. You see, that's a very quiet comment. But if you hear, what do you hear in that? Really, tell me, what's in that? Well, I guess we'll see.
Not planning for the future?
Yeah. He couldn't possibly know what he's going to do next year and the year after that and the year. He doesn't know what life is going to throw at him, right? So that's kind of the way, if you learn to listen to me, that's the way I speak. And if I make a suggestion to you and you immediately turn away from it, I support you in your decision. I say, okay, then I support you in that. And we'll see what happens as you go that way. It's okay. But my dad even taught me when I was a kid, my dad taught me that most people create all of their own troubles. That's a true statement. Trouble doesn't find them. They create their own troubles. I read last night, I don't have the seven steps with me because I just ran in here. And I think it's probably still in the car. You know, I ran in here to get here in time. But last night in Gentle Healing, I shared a quote that really talked about just that, right? The quote talked about how there are pure and impure tendencies within each of us. And the pure tendencies help us to awaken. Does anybody remember what it said the impure tendencies do if we give them attention? What'd you say, Shauna?
Create trouble.
Cause trouble. That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what the quote said. Cause trouble. You know? So believe it or not, you know, my beloved friend who has this plan, that could cause trouble. What could cause trouble? Well, things could come up that are trying to point him in a certain direction. If he's too married to where he thinks he's supposed to go to his plan, he's going to be fighting and clawing and feeling like a failure. And I mean, just all kinds of trouble. I think it was the night before. So I think it was probably last night. I think it was last night because this guy posted this morning. So I think it was last night I was talking to Jasmine, my daughter. You'd think I'd care about her, right? If I want to see anybody be successful, it's her. Isn't that the way parents are? So Jasmine just started an internship. Yesterday was her first day. Today's her second day. For those of you who don't know, she wants to be a biomedical engineer. And she has started an internship with a biomedical engineering company from Germany. They're here. They have an office here in Longmont, Colorado. And she's stressed. You know, she gets scared with new situations. She'll settle into it, but she always is scared when it's new, which isn't unusual. So she's stressed right now because she's got this new situation. And she said to me something like, you know, she really feels unworthy, or she really feels like a loser, or she really feels low, something like that, because everybody else, meaning all of the other kids in her college program, know what they want to do in the future. They have it all figured out, and she doesn't, and she was feeling like a loser. And I said to her, Jasmine, they're all mistaken. There's only one way to live life. And that's one step at a time. You know, tomorrow you'll find out what tomorrow brings, I told her. And the day after that, you'll find out what the day after that brings. I'm very lucky because Jasmine actually listens to me. She's one person on the planet Earth who does. Always has. We're very lucky there. And so I think she felt relief, right? She didn't hold on to the idea that she has to have it all figured out. We were just hiking the day before that, and Jay asked me, what's Jasmine want to do in the future? What's Jasmine want to build? And Jay, what did I tell you?
Something to the same effect.
Yeah.
what was that phrase? Leave tomorrow to its own devices, or whatever that phrase is. Right. Basically, don't worry about it, yeah.
Yeah, she's just living forward. You know, she'll find out when she finds out. Cheryl asked me a question yesterday about what I saw in the future for her. And I'm like, all we can do is live forward, you know. But the point that I was getting to, and I kind of got off a little bit, not that I think that was a waste. I think it's good for everybody to know you can't actually plan your future. The future will take care of itself, and you're just going to be in its grasp when it does. the point of that was my guidance is actually subtle. And that's what this is saying a good leader does. A good leader provides subtle guidance. And the reason the good leader does that is because the good leader is letting you follow your own path, which includes even your mistakes that are going to cause your own trouble. Because a good leader also knows that sometimes the way that we really learn is by making those mistakes and causing our own trouble. Right? In fact, I'm sure we've all known adult children, whose parents have solved every problem for them ever. You know, every time they got in trouble from the time they were teenagers, the parent bailed them out, you know, took care of it, covered this, hid that, paid for that. And those children don't mature. They don't mature appropriately because they weren't allowed to get, you know, follow their own path, get themselves into trouble, and have to find their own way out again, solve their own issues, do their own apologizing, serve their own prison sentences. you know? So one way that a person grows and matures is, believe it or not, by making mistakes. And again, the reason most people don't want to make mistakes is they think the word mistake and bad is the same thing. If I make a mistake, it means I'm bad. That is just not true. Mistakes are just another way to learn. It's just another way humans evolve, mature, right? So a good leader provides subtle direction. Now, there are exceptions to that. You know, one example that I think it's Michael Langford that he uses is, you know, if there's a child running in front of a car, you grab them if you can. You know, there are exceptions to that. You know, if somebody is really heading for an important danger or error that maybe you can prevent, you know, then you may speak up a little louder. And in fact, at the retreat house, we have a guideline. The guideline is if somebody volunteers to do a job, you let them do the job their way unless it's important. Right? And that's the important thing, unless it's important. Like, let's say Jay came over and was going to hang some pictures for us, and then somebody notices Jay's starting to stand on a chair with wheels. We're like, no, Jay, get off that chair. Because he could slip and break his back. That's important, right? You know, so even though a good leader is subtle and really lets people make their own decisions, and even if it means learning from their own mistakes, there are times when the mistake is too severe that the leader will be less subtle. Does that make sense to everyone? You know, and of course, the leader is always following her own intuition in whether this is a time to let them go their own way, even though I see that it might be a mistake, or whether this is a time to, whoa, no, no, right? So the great leader speaks little. He never speaks carelessly. Now, this is also very important. He works without self-interest. Again, you know, I think my humble opinion of the leader that I worked with before, that I told you about earlier, that I had to leave, I think he only worked with self-interest, to be honest. In fact, he told me that he wanted followers. He wanted places, like an empire, different places all over the world. At that time, he didn't have them. Now he does. He got what he wanted. He wanted places. He wanted followers, and then I also observed that he wanted money. And even though he pretended to be a spiritual leader, both to himself and to everyone else, what he really wanted was money, followers, and places, an empire, a physical empire. And if you knew this about him, it was very easy to observe that all of the guidance that he provided to people was about achieving those three goals. In fact, one piece of guidance that he often provided to people was to turn over all of their financial resources to his organization. He told them, I mean, he had a good story. He told them that this was to help them awaken. He told them that, you know, if they were holding on to their own individual financial resources because they wanted a plan B, an ego out. If they got too scared, they could run back to their money, their houses that they owned, whatever. And that he was helping them not escape awakening, not turn back to the ego by giving everything to him. But the truth is, if you really knew him, and I knew him, I lived with him, he just wanted their money. He wanted their allegiance. And again, he wanted to buy properties. The good leader works without self-interest, not attempting to gain anything for herself. Everything she does with the mind of a servant. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to give to you. I'm here to help you. That is the only leadership attitude that is pure. Again, that's why Jesus told his followers that the greatest among you is the one who serves you. I have noticed in the past, this was in the past, I'm not currently, when we first started writing the policies and procedures for Awakening Together, it was a little more challenging for me as a leader with this philosophy, because some of the people on the trustee board at that time wanted to write the policies in a way that they could get from Awakening Together. You know, like they wanted to build a name for themselves. They wanted to be able to use their Awakening Together minister ordination to start their own conferences, write their own books. And it's not that I'm against people leading, leading retreats or writing books. I want you to do whatever you're guided to do. The point was you could feel the attitude of what can I get? And that's just completely opposite. I mean, listen to this. The leader, the good leader, works without self-interest. Do you hear that? This is about giving. In fact, you give as much as you possibly can give. And in fact, you give more than you think you can. Right? This is about giving. And there are different ways to give. I mean, there are, you know, you give financially if you have financial resources. You give physically as a volunteer. You know, you there's all kinds of way to give. But one purpose of Awakening Together, although not everybody has caught on to it yet, one purpose of Awakening Together is to give you a outlet for giving. And this is really important because, now I'm going to sound a little bit like that other leader, but not completely because my attitude is different. This is really important because the ego does want you to take care of me first. By putting yourself last, which is what Jesus recommended, by serving everyone else in whatever way you feel guided to serve. That's how you're being the leader. And again, that's the purpose of our minister program. The minister programs are people who have volunteered to be servants, to be official servants of the organization. Now, the funny thing is, a lot of them really aren't. I mean, we have to chase after them to do their one service a year to maintain their ordination, which shows that people aren't really hearing this message. And I don't care how they give, you know. In fact, I don't care if they give. It's just that being a servant, I mean, think about one of the last lessons that Jesus gave the disciples. He washed their feet. Right? Why do you think he did that? What was he trying to say? You know, he was setting an example for the people that he knew were going to be the leaders. He knew by this time his time was short. Whether he knew he was going to be crucified, I don't know, but I guarantee you he knew his time was short. He could feel that. And he was in his last days with the future leaders, and he was teaching them to be servants rather than lordeth over. He was teaching them to give rather than take. The true leader works without self-interest. Every time self-interest shows up in our work, whether we just want credit We just want people to notice that we're the one that did it. That's ego. And again, that takes us back to the first and the last line. The highest rulers, people do not know they have them. The people all say we did it naturally, or the way Wayne Dyer says it, we did it ourselves. You know, a true leader doesn't even want credit. A true leader doesn't even care if you noticed how they helped you to succeed. The true leader is the invisible wind beneath your wings. It's all about giving. It's all about serving. It's all about helping, but it's not at all about me. The great leader speaks little. He never speaks carelessly. He works without self-interest and leaves no trace. That's the next line, and leaves no trace. You know, my dad, the longer I live, the more I realize how wise my dad was. And one thing my dad used to always say was, you never want to make yourself indispensable. He says that you, and my dad was a leader. He was a JCPenney manager. So he was speaking as a leader to, you know, his kids who he thought would probably follow after him and be leaders, right? He said, you kind of want to be like a finger in a bucket of water. When you pull the finger out of the bucket of water, how big of a hole does it leave? You guys get that? I see you're getting it like one by one. I'll repeat that one more time for those who haven't yet. As a leader, you kind of want to be like a finger in a bucket of water. When you pull the finger out of the bucket of water, how big of a hole does it leave? What that means is, if I am successful as the founder and president minister of Awakening Together, when I leave, you will carry on perfectly without me. That's what that means. I will know I was successful because you don't need me. Helena says, but we'll miss you. Yeah. And those of you who know my guidance know, even though I could not have known the specifics of how all of this was going to fold out, on day one, when I received my calling to write with Holy Spirit and teach what I write, this was long before I knew about NTI, Inner Ramana, Foundation for Holy Spirit, Awakening Together, a retreat house. I didn't know anything. I mean, I wouldn't even in a million years have imagined this stuff. Never. I mean, there wasn't an inkling of any of these ideas in my head. But I received guidance. Let's look at that guidance. You've heard the story before, but let's look at the guidance with what we all know now. The first thing that happened, remember, was I had a vision. And the vision was that I was in a deep, dark cave. It was so dark you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And there were a lot of people down there with me. And everybody wanted to find their way out of the cave, but they couldn't. Even though there were multiple passageways leaving the cave, nobody could find them. And I stood there with an armful of lit candles. And people came up to me. I gave them a candle. Then they took their own candle and found their own way out of the cave. That's the first thing that happened that day. The second thing that happened that day, that's when I went to the computer and I said, if you're trying to tell me something, just tell me. And I typed out that little message, my first scribal message that told me to write with Holy Spirit, to teach what I write, right? But then the next thing that happened was I was told to go see a movie. This all happened in the same day. The movie was Shall We Dance, which I had not even heard of, but it was at the theaters at the time. And there were two things in Shall We Dance that I knew were messages for me. One had to do with the message to write with Holy Spirit and teach what I write. And that's when Jennifer Lopez was teaching Richard Gere to dance and he was being all clumsy. And she said to him, "Don't think. Don't move unless you feel it." And I knew those were my instructions for how to write and how to teach. It was never to come from me. I understood exactly what that meant. I wasn't to sit down and decide what you guys need and plan out a workshop like so many other teachers do and go and teach my workshop. I was always to be completely spontaneous. Another way to say it is I'm not the writer or I'm not the teacher. I'm just the body, right? But the other message, which I knew was also a message, but it was a long, long time before I could see it beginning to come to fruition. The other message is at the end of the movie, Richard Gere, who was the character that represented me, he had been spending time with a group of people in a ballroom dance studio, and some of them were learning to dance and some of them were becoming competitors, and they were all letting go of ego stuff. Right? They all had their own hangups that they were letting go of. At the end of the movie, when they had each progressed enough that they really didn't need assistance anymore, because funny thing is, he in his own way was assisting everybody all along. He left. And in one of the last scenes in the movie, you see him on a train going by the ballroom, which is up on a second floor, and you see all of them laughing and dancing and being completely independent without him. And I've always known, even though I could never have envisioned any of this, I've always known that that scene was a part of my guidance. And then it was just a few years ago. The other day I was telling this story and I said it was 2015, but I thought about it a little bit. I think it was 2016 at the fall retreat. I suddenly received the message just spontaneously out of the blue that it's time to prepare for the end of the movie. I knew exactly what that meant. It was time for me to prepare to leave. And that's why in January of 2017, I started Gentle Healing. Because I needed to take more aggressive steps to help everyone become self-sufficient. So that you all can be like those people in the ballroom when I leave. I'll be handing Awakening Together to you. And I will leave. And I will leave no trace, which means you'll be completely independent and self-sufficient. And that's been a part of the plan all along. And I still don't know exactly how it's going to unfold. I don't know what me leaving means. But well, a while ago I said that Jesus knew that his end time was near. He may not have known he was going to get arrested and crucified, but he could feel it. You see, I feel it. That's how I know. That's how I know he knew, because I know. So the only job that I have now is helping you not need me. Yeah. And this is why I do little things, even little things that you probably don't even notice. Like, of course, Helena's schedule has already changed. But when Helena wanted a teaching slot, I immediately volunteered to go to half an hour. Now, Jacqueline objected, and we ended up doing 45 and 45. But why would I immediately volunteer to go from an hour to half an hour so someone else could teach? Because I'm backing out. I'm pulling my finger out of the bucket of water right now. That's what I'm in the process of doing. And Awakening Together belongs to you guys. You guys got to carry on without me. And if Awakening Together fails, it just means that I didn't do a very good job. It's okay. It doesn't mean I'm bad. But I didn't do a very good job. If this whole organization sits on me, I blew it. You guys understand? And each one of you, those who are following me in the leadership of this organization, are going to leave one day too. And if you're good leaders, you will also leave no trace. You know, Mary Baker Eddy made a terrible mistake. You guys know who Mary Baker Eddy is, the leader of Christian Science? She made a terrible mistake. She told her followers that she was the only one with inspired interpretation. To this day, if you go to a Christian Science service, no one, they don't do what we do here. You know, like here, you guys might read a little bit from book, but then you speak your own inspiration. They don't do that. They read her book word for word, close it, and they don't say a word about it. Because they aren't self-sufficient with inner spiritual guidance. They're completely dependent on her words as the only reliable guidance. I wouldn't care at all after I leave if NTI and Inner Ramana and everything else I wrote completely disappears, if Regina is completely forgotten. I would be thrilled if it just continues on your inspiration. Just you and what's coming through you. Because the truth is, if you're really self-reliant with inner spiritual guidance, you know, it's like the Course says, how many teachers does it take to save the world? One. And that's not talking about bodies, is it? That's the same one through me and through you. You know, Regina is completely irrelevant. It's what came through her. And the exact words that came through her are completely irrelevant. It's that that inspiration continues to come through whoever steps up to let it happen. And again, although I didn't know the level of detail of this plan, I always knew that there would be a time, sometime, that I would leave. And Foundation for the Holy Spirit was begun on that principle to help others become self-reliant. It was not built as an organization to hail the great Regina, hail NTI, hail Inner Ramana. Let's make them permanent scripture that people 100, 500 years from now are reading. Right? That's not the purpose. Those books may die 5 years after I do. And that's what, they might die before I do. What matters is that the inspiration comes through you. That's what we're all about. So the great leader speaks little. He never speaks carelessly. He works without self-interest. And leaves no trace. When all is finished, the people say, we did it. ourselves. We have time for one more translation. Let's see if it has anything else to offer. This is Stephen Mitchell. When the master governs, the people are hardly aware that he exists. Next best is a leader who is loved. Next, one who is feared. The worst is one who is despised. If you don't trust the people, you make them untrustworthy. So he interpreted that a little differently. Instead of saying that you, the leader, don't deserve trust if you don't trust them, he said that if I don't trust you, you will never become self-reliant, and therefore you're never trustworthy. You know, like I didn't give you that opportunity. Just like the parents I talked about earlier who always take care of their children's problems, you know, at 40 years old, those children still aren't worthy because they never learned how to take care of their own problems, right? So this is really how Stephen Mitchell interpreted it, that if the leader doesn't trust the people will never become self-reliant. So trust, I have to trust you if I want to help you to become self-reliant. The master doesn't talk, he acts. I got to tell you, every time I've read Stephen Mitchell, I felt like that was a mistranslation. Because again, it doesn't emphasize the background nature of the leader, which is what I think chapter 17 is all about. You know, this could be misinterpreted as I'm doing everything, you know. The master doesn't talk, he acts. When his work is done, the people say, amazing, we did it all by ourselves. When his work is done, I don't know, I think that's a little bit of a mistranslation. If it said when the work was done, the people would say, amazing, we did it all by ourselves. But it says when his work is done, it's almost like it's giving too much responsibility to the leader. The leader does what she has to do. But she doesn't really want to have ownership of everything, you know? Like I don't have the sense that the sanctuary is mine. I don't even have the sense that NTI is mine, you know? So I think the other two probably caught the heart of that a little better. And I think really my favorite, just because it's the clearest, I think my favorite for the last paragraph is Dr. Wayne Dyer. The great leader speaks little. You know, where Stephen Mitchell said he doesn't talk at all. The great leader speaks little. He never speaks carelessly. He works without self-interest and leaves no trace. When all is finished, the people say we did it ourselves. I think that really captures the heart of what is trying to be communicated through verse 17. So that leaves me with no more words. We have 2 minutes left. Does anybody have anything they want to say? No? All right, then. What I will do, Don, is I will take a moment to contemplate. I'll type a title in for you. Or would you rather me text you since you're going to be closing the sanctuary? Maybe I'll text it to you. That's probably a little better. And then I got to hightail it out of here. I have an appointment, which is why I had to eat lunch while we were playing the song, because I wouldn't have got to eat lunch otherwise. But I want to thank you all for being here. I don't mean here to listen to me say that. I just mean here at Awakening Together with, I know you each have your own intention to be self-reliant, you know, and by self-reliant, we mean on inner guidance. I know that none of you are here to put me on a pedestal. None of you are here to follow me. You're just taking the help that I provide so that you can become self-reliant. And that's perfect. That's the plan. That's the way it's supposed to be. So I want to thank you for your intention. And I know some of you work very hard at it. And I want to thank you for your work. I know it takes a lot of time every day, a lot of dedication. I know it's not always easy. In fact, at times it's extremely difficult. And I worship you. All right, releasing the mic.